Let's give a big thank you to the praise team. Thank you for teaching us how to fight spiritual battles. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor. Oh,
yes.
Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. When we come as where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. Church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints.
Okay.
As we eat spiritual food and grow up in Jesus, we have access to more power and grace. So let us listen with ears to hear how we also can pass this open book test of earthly life. Today, Pastor O will deliver a sermon titled, The Power of the Church. The text is from Acts 3, verses 1 through 8. So turn or click in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 3, verses 1 through 8. It reads as follows. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Amen. Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers a sermon titled, The Power of the Church.
Right.
So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain.
Amen. God bless. Amen. Yes, the little people going downstairs to have their church while we adults sit up here and have our church. Amen.
Amen.
But first I want to acknowledge somebody who hadn't been here for a while. Y'all haven't seen her since she used to sit right over there. And that used to be her spot. Sister Janice Richards. Amen. Amen. A real close friend. Calls me every day, Jerome. Used to call me at 5:30 in the morning. Now it's 6 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock. Now it's 7 o'clock. Praise God. Amen. But it sends me encouragements. Only two people call me every day. That's Deacon Charles Tate and Sister Janice Richards every single day. But that gives me great encouragement. Amen. Amen. See, every single day got an encouraging word. And I like to wake up, amen, giving thanks and praise to God before I get into the day, so that way when life started happening, amen, I've already been upstairs, amen, and it's good to start. So it's good to see you and Deacon Jerome Chambers. I think you see a First Baptist Southwest, amen. We thank God for him and the members over there that worship there. My friend Lons, raise your hand, Lons, amen. I mean, amen, been knowing him for years, get his name wrong. Raise your hand. McCluskey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you say McCluskey. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for giving us yet another opportunity to come into your house and praise your name. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem the coming king, the one who would go to the cross, be crucified, and then on the third day be raised up for our justification and salvation. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity. Now that we are here, speak to us. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear the word. So they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I am here today to be transformed, changing the way I think. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now, all this month we're celebrating our church anniversary, and we're giving thanks to God. And last week we talked about the birth of the church. We looked in the book of Acts, and we looked in chapter 2. We saw Peter preaching awesome sermon, and after he got through with that word-filled sermon, see, when you put a whole lot of Bible in your sermon, amen, and that word goes out throughout the congregation, and the Holy Spirit, amen, makes things happen for those folks, right? But when you're just up here talking, amen, then pretty much nothing happens but a whole lot of excitement and a whole bunch of stuff that don't really amount to nothing. But Peter spoke the word of God. And how do we know that? Because when he got to the end of that sermon, the Bible says that the folks there were pricked in their hearts, meaning they felt conviction from the Holy Spirit to respond to what they just heard. And 3,000 people, when they said the door to the church is open, 3,000 people raised their hand saying, I want to be baptized. Because that is the solution that Peter gave them for salvation. They needed to make a public announcement. That's what water baptism is, amen. A public announcement that we've turned from the world and turned toward Christ. Does that mean we're perfect?
No.
It just means we're on our way. Jesus, what? Philippians 1:6 says that Jesus, who began a work in us, Mary, Deaconess Mary, is going to bring it out to what? Completion. Jesus going to do it. You ever see a Christian trying to make themselves perfect? You ever see Christians who act like they're perfect?
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus didn't make them like that. Amen. We are born sinners. Amen. But when we meet Christ, at that moment, he starts working on us. And he knows us. And he knows us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And so he starts working on us. Now, how did he start working on these people? The Bible says in verse 42 that they devoted themselves after being baptized, making a public announcement, I've turned from sin to Christ, from the world to Christ. Amen. It says they devoted themselves to the Bible class. Wow, you really get quiet with this. That's why I said they devoted themselves to God's lesson. The whole church would have stood up. But they devoted themselves to what? Bible class. They called it the apostles' doctrine. That means teaching. Because we remember what Jesus said, don't we? He said, after you get them baptized, then do what? Teach them what I taught you. And so Peter and them, after they got them baptized, the hallelujah party was over. The baptismal dinner was over. Amen. That fellowship was over. Now, what it says is they continued. See, God ain't going to make you go to Bible class. No, he's not going to make you go to Bible class. But if you want more than the salvation God, if you want more than the salvation Jesus, if you want more than what his name means, he saves. Amen. Then you have to go to his next name, Adonai. You have to be let Jesus become what? Your Lord. And how does he do that? Romans chapter 12 told us God changes the way we think according to his word.
Come on now.
Amen.
All right.
So Bible class, Sunday school, and home Bible study, especially home Bible study. You're not going to get in church Amen. You're not going to get in Sunday school. You ain't going to get in the Bible class. You're going to get something. God's going to give you something. Just like the Bereans got something when they listened to Paul in Acts chapter 17. But the Bible says they went home, Janice, and they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying lined up with what God said. And so when you do that, when they went home, only the Holy Spirit could bring them what's called illumination. See, you have to do some work. You got to read it. They read it. They heard Paul talk about it. They went home and searched the scriptures. What that means is they were interpreting what Paul said according to the scriptures, using it for a standard. And when they saw what Paul said was true, they believed it. What am I trying to tell you? That Jesus wants to be one-on-one with you. Yes, he loves it when you go to Bible class. He loves it when you go to Sunday school. But he just be anxiously waiting for an opportunity to get one-on-one with you. Amen. The disciples used to hear his sermons all the time. They used to hear his Bible classes all the time. But when the crowds were going away, they would say, Lord, I know it's late, and I know we've been going all day, but can you declare unto us the scriptures that you spoke while all the people were here? And Jesus would never hesitate. That's why I say home Bible studies. You need all of them. We need all we can get.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. But only in that home Bible study. Yes, the Holy Spirit will tell you and confirm for you what your Bible teacher, preacher is saying. But when you get alone with him, when you get one-on-one with him. See, Enoch got one-on-one with God. And he walked with God. He was only 365 years old, relatively young, when you consider the oldest person was 969 Methuselah. Amen. So that meant he was just a young adult. Just started having kids. The Bible literally says he had just started having kids, but he had developed a walk with God. How many people you know walk with God like Enoch? Enoch didn't have no church, didn't have no pastor, didn't have a Bible. We got 66 books and we still can't walk with God. He didn't have none of that. But somehow he developed a relationship with God that God respected so much. He translated him from earth to heaven. You might as well come up here. Amen. I guess Jesus was through working on him, Jerome. I mean, Deacon Chambers. I mess up because I know people and I be calling them like I know them. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, respect that man's position. Amen. 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 So Jesus wants to get one-on-one with us like he did with Enoch. Jesus wants to get one-on-one with us like he did Noah. They were so one-on-one, Noah learned how to be a shipbuilder. First shipbuilder in the world. They didn't even have a school for it yet. Deacon Clyburn, he didn't go to school. They didn't have a school for shipbuilding yet. There was no school for engineering yet. There was no school for physics. There was no math classes. But all you need is Jesus. And him being one-on-one, see, Noah had to get one-on-one with the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
His wife, his three sons, and their wives, those seven folks had to get out of the way while he could sit here and hear the Lord's instructions. And he did what James said. If you've been following my YouTube teaching on the book of James, James said this in verse 25 of chapter 1. He says, look into the law that gives freedom. Continue looking into the law that gives freedom. Don't forget what you heard when you read the Bible that gives freedom. That's what the law means.
Yes. Yes.
And then he says, do what you read. Then he says, you'll be blessed in what you do. See, Noah did all that. He continued. He listened to the Lord speak. We don't know how long it took for God to give him those instructions on how to build that boat, right? But he listened continuously until God got through. Now, what if Noah had forgot what God said about building the boat? He might have left something open. And it might not have lasted those 40 days and 40 nights during the time of the flood, the antediluvian period. He might not have made it. But he listened to what God said. And when he listened and he learned what God said, he was one-on-one with God. Amen. Somebody else taught him about God. His father Lemek taught him about God. His father Lemek taught him to bring an offering to God. And he in turn taught his wife, his sons, and their wives. Amen.
Okay.
But it's the one-on-one conversation that he had with God that taught him how to build that boat. Amen. So these folks, this new church, the church that is just born in the book of Acts, continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in prayer. And they continued in breaking of the bread, celebration of the Lord's communion, remembering, reminding themselves of their connection to him. And the Bible says many signs and wonders caused the people to be in awe of the apostles. And they kept spreading the word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit had spread the love of God abroad in their hearts. How do we know that? Because they no longer felt like anything they owned was their own, but they held all things in common. By the time you get to chapters 4 and down around verse 32 and 3 or so, it says there was no longer any needy among them. They had eradicated, amen, poverty among them. Why? Because those who owned extra houses, not the one they live in, those who had extra land, not the land they live in on, or extra this or extra that, they took it, sold it, and brought it to the church and laid it at the apostles' feet, and the pastor didn't get rich. But it was distributed to the people as they had need. Just like we do here now. You know, if you get into some kind of trouble, you go to see a Beatrice, you go to see Jonathan, and that's the beginning of the solution to your problem. Okay. If the church can help. Every church on earth ought to take care of their members.
Yes.
You don't just use tithes and offerings to buy the pastor everything. Just loving the pastor, amen, is not what God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. Love them according to 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14, right? Take care of them. But what about the people? When they raised up, amen, them deacons, those deacons were put in charge of what preachers couldn't do. But deacon, they was messing it up. Amen. These people was getting everything they needed, but not these people. And the preachers didn't even notice it until it got way out of hand. So they raised up 7 men. They called them deacons later on. And what was their job? To see to the needs of the people. But I guarantee you, you go in a lot of churches, every deacon in there see to the needs of the pastor.
Amen.
I got in trouble one time in a church meeting because I tried to... Mackie, Deacon Mackie, I just tried to sit there and let it go by. But I heard somebody say that we was installed to serve the needs of the pastor. And I didn't, mother, I'm just going to sit there. That's somebody else's fight. That ain't my fight. Because I knew where I was at and the church I was in. I wasn't about to say what I said, and I said it. I went straight to this chapter and said they were raised up to serve the people. And you know what I was told? Sit down. Because that's not what we voted in this other church where they went and did their installation services. They literally said the deacons shall serve the pastor. And then another deacon in the church stood up and had my back. He said, but pastor, that's the scripture. I don't know. And then you got a bunch of arm bearers and things. People carrying your Bible for you. Amen. They call them armor bearers. I went to a church to preach one time. They gave me an armor bearer, Ed. And I'm like, I don't have no armor. So he took my Bible. And wherever I went, he carried my Bible. I'm like, for real, Jesus? Is it like that? He's like, well, this church, that church, different customs, different traditions. Amen. But here at Runner for Christ, we do what? Teaching, learning, doing. We are strictly biblical Bible church, Bible-based church.
Amen.
Amen. You go check our church website out if you want to know what a Bible-based church is. Amen. Amen. And so the people shared. See, when God touches your heart, you like Jesus. You see people in trouble, and you feel like you're in that trouble. The Bible says Jesus looked on them as sheep without a shepherd, and he didn't stop there. The Bible says, amen, Deacon Jones, the Bible says he had compassion on them. Jesus said, tell the people to sit down so I can give them something to eat. The disciples said, send them away in the towns to buy some food. Jesus said, I don't want to do that. They might faint by their own way. You feed them. And then they started telling Jesus why they couldn't. We ain't got but 2 fish and 5 loaves. We ain't got but 7 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, what you want us to do? He gave them an opportunity to do it. All somebody had to have is what Peter had when he stepped off the boat. Jesus said to Peter, they scared he was a ghost. Amen. You can tell you they scared he was a ghost. And when they found out he wasn't a ghost, but he was real, Peter, you know Peter, boom, right off the, amen, mouth always open. Lord, if it's you, he knew it was Jesus. Who else going to be walking on? Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. The other disciples are clinging on to every part of the boat they can hang on to because they're in a storm. And notice this, when Jesus walked up, the storm didn't stop. But Peter got out of the boat based on the word Jesus gave him. Don't do stuff if Jesus ain't gave you no word. Just tell people, say, when you going to do that when Jesus give me a word? Amen. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Gave him one word that overcame gravity.
Yes. Yes.
And he stepped out of the boat and defied gravity as he's walking toward Jesus. But y'all know what happened. Satan didn't disappear. He started blowing the wind harder. He started making the waves deeper. And Peter looked at him. Sometimes when we stand out and step out in faith, then obstructions pop up. Some, you ever been getting ready to go somewhere, got on the freeway, and then saw the big detour? And then you're like, how am I going to get where I'm going? Amen. That's what happened. If Jesus led you from your house to your car to go there, guess what? That's how you going to get there. He already knew the detour was there. Amen. So Peter looked at the winds and the waves, and he sank. And then what did he do, Crystal? How long was that prayer?
Three words.
Lord, save me. What if Peter had said, Lord, who sits on high and look down low? Lord, who scooped out the earth and caused the seas to appear? Lord, what if Peter did that? Peter would have been deeper. Peter would have sounded like this. Blah, 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 blah. Lord, save me. God says you won't be heard because you're speaking a whole lot of words. I already know what things you have need of even before you ask me. So when you come to me, remember that. And so the people didn't feel like anything was theirs. And the whole city was looking at him saying, I want to be a part of that. Guess what, church? When we are the church and we demonstrate the power of the church, what is the power of the church? It's Jesus working through us. That's the power of the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
When we operate like that, when we function like that, Jesus is lifted up. And guess what? People get drawn in.
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes our Christianity ain't working right. And people see it and run away. If that's what Jesus did for you, I'm good. I'm already messed up. Amen. Amen. Do we make, the Bible says you'll know them by their what? How come ain't nobody want your fruit? People see, so you see a nice juicy red apple, it'll make your mouth water. So if we juicy red apple Christians, amen, think of that good food that make your mouth water. Think of that food you think about you're going to get at the church and how you can't wait to get that food. Think about that peach cobbler. Amen. Amen. We sitting at the table with Pastor Jonathan Tate yesterday. He said, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get to the Cobbler station. For the, amen, for the Cobbler station. Amen. That Cobbler was smell like Smokey and your boy Nino Brown. It was calling me, man. The Cobbler was calling me. I tried to not go get it, but it be calling me. Amen. That's how your Christianity should affect other people. They ought to know you got problems, but they don't. Why are you not tripping? Are you kidding? What do you think that the prisoners thought when Paul and Silas was locked up? Chained up in the dungeon, the worst part of the jail, solitary. Amen. Left there for rats to feed on them. Sitting in hay. That's what they used for a mat for them. And there would be old urine in there. There would be feces in there because they ain't cleaned it up from the last person. And now you're in there in that situation. But you're singing praises to God at midnight.
Come on. Yeah.
Well, guess what happened?
Yes.
Tamika, when they saw that kind of faith, the other prisoners got saved after Jesus tore up their little man in jail. Amen. The other prisoners got saved. Amen. After God did the earthquake and tore up the jail and everybody's chains just fell off. Imagine you got handcuffs on. Oh, you ever felt that? Oh, I done felt that before. Them babies sharp. They like they gonna cut your wrists off. Hey, oh, but we was playing. Amen. No, they wasn't playing. I was playing, but they were serious. Amen. Their chains fell off. Their feet were unfastened in the stocks. Even the rat said, we got to get out of here. Something going on. Amen. All the other people who was in jail with them after they saw the power of the church, they didn't want the power. They wanted the salvation they had.
Yes.
When we demonstrate the power of God and how it rules over us, Amen. Oh, they ain't going to want us. They gonna want our God. When the folks in Jericho was shut up behind them walls, they weren't scared of the children of Israel. They were scared of their God. They heard what their God did. Amen.
Yes.
If you want people on your job to want what you got, let them see the power of God. Let them see the power of a changed life. Amen.
Yes.
Let them see the power of a changed mind, a changed mouth, changed lips. Amen.
Right.
Change thoughts.
See it.
Amen. When we come to chapter 3, amen, now the power is out of the upper room. Amen. They done left the upper room. And now they, amen. So a whole lot of Christians are still in the upper room praising God. They're doing their holy dance.
Okay.
They ain't left yet. They like the church stay inside these walls. Like my friend Reverend James O'Reilly like to say, me, Joe, us four, and no more. Amen. Amen. We get saved. We good. Let's have church parties till Jesus come. We're going to have us some concerts, get us some good Christian singers to sing us till we feel good. And then we're going to get some preachers because our ears kind of itchy. And that preacher over there, the last time I listened, he scratched my itching ear. Amen. But Peter said they're going to heap to themselves or seek out teachers having itching ears. These are preachers who just say what you want to hear.
Amen.
Amen. They don't tell you the truth. They watch what moves you. I'm a preacher, so I know. They watch what moves you. We pay strict attention to the congregation. You ever hear a preacher say, oh, I can tell y'all didn't like that. That's because he's paying attention or she's paying attention. Amen. And so it becomes habitual with them that they only say things that make you say amen. They don't want to say stuff like, go to Bible class. And only one person respond, amen. They don't want to hear that. Oh, please don't bring up tithes and offerings. A man accused me this morning. I went to one of my posts. I never read comments, but because I post what Jesus tells me to post. It's usually just scripture. But anyway, I posted a picture of that table back there. And he accused Runner for Christ Ministries of selling in the church. How much does everything on that table back there cost?
Free.
It's free.
Free.
And so all he did was show what? His ignorance.
Right.
Amen. Peter and John. At this time, they're still going up to the temple because they haven't broken away yet. Okay? They still go to the temple every day. Said that in chapter 2. And now we're in chapter 3. So it's one of them days they're going to the temple. There was Homeo who was brought and laid there at the temple. They said the man was 42 years old, but he had been lame from birth. So he had some good friends. Because they would bring him and lay him at the temple gate, Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's courts, amen. And there he would be like the people up on 4th Street. When we go up there, they're sitting right there and they're asking or begging for alms. Now they weren't like this man. The people up there, they healthier than I am, okay? And younger than I am. So homie, you know, go get a job. Go to our church website, amen, click on jobs, and there's 1,000 of them right there. Get 10 of them, amen, pick them until you get one you like, amen. So this man is actually lame, this man actually needs help. And so Peter and John is walking up and they look at him, and they look at him, and he look at them. And because they paid attention to him, they expected to receive something. He expected to receive something from them. And so Peter looked at him and told the man, look on us. And expecting to receive something, Peter told him, Mackie Peter, Deacon Mackie, Peter told him the worst news he could possibly hear. Silver and gold have I none. Then the man was like, well, keep it moving then. Because that's what I need. I need silver or gold. I'll take either one. Okay, because I'm hungry. I'm a toe up on the floor up. And you talking about silver and gold have I none. Well, you can't help me. Amen. Like I heard this song one time said, if money can't buy it, then I don't want it. My man like, hey, if you ain't got no money, then you can't help me. But Peter continued. Silver and gold have I none. Somebody once said if you give a man a fish, you're going to have to give him one tomorrow. But if you teach him how to fish, you won't even see him tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got to kind of think that's what Peter was thinking.
Well.
You want me to give you some money, but you're going to be back here tore up from the floor up tomorrow. Them people I see up there on the corner are there every single day.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
So if you're really going to help them out of that situation they're in. So they don't have to come back there. And then they can go back and help somebody else out. I bet that man, after he got healed, went around telling people how to get healed. What God can do. So they say, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, what do you have? I heard somebody say, if Jesus is all you have all you need.
Okay.
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give, not sell. We selling everything in the church. Some folk don't go to church because people are saying they're using the church as a business. Amen. You should hear some of the discussions I've heard around money. And it's like, you know, they're like, in business, you regard customers as revenue. You don't call them people. I sat in a lot of profit and loss meetings over a 3-year period. And I was sitting there confused because they kept saying revenue. And I was like, does revenue work here? They keep talking about revenue. Who is revenue? And I found out revenue were the customers. They were people. Amen? And some churches, some people regard members as, one preacher said, we're going to give so much money. And God is going to bless us with 500 members each month that y'all get us extra money. Amen? $333. I don't know what that had to do with anything, but it was going to get them 500 members each month if each member gave $333. Amen. I heard a lady say that she was at $300. She said, this is for Passover celebration. God wants you to sow a $300 seed to celebrate Passover. I just skip that church and celebrate Passover at the crib. Amen. Amen. Then I won't be in church that Sunday. I used to send the pulpit in here, preach. They would point back at the preachers and say, now we're going to begin the offering, but the preacher's going to give $100. So I'm sitting next to this other preacher, and we both got our dollar and $2 out. And he asked me, you going to give $100? I'm like, no, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the $100 preachers. I'm the dollar preacher. Amen. I fixed that real quick. I am not the $100 preacher. Amen. I'm the dollar preacher. They always tell you you can't pay for the word, so why are you asking me for all this money? Amen. What about this one? Now, y'all know this preacher preach. You can't pay for the word of God, but we can do better than this. Send the pot around again.
Yes.
Amen. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we do that, we need to understand what the name of Jesus means. Amen. The name of Jesus means God's will. If it's God's will, if it's God's will, you finna get up. If it's God's will, you coming out this hospital. If it's God's will, you finna get that financial breakthrough. If it's God's will. So we have to be careful when we pray. We have to be careful what we tell people. Make sure first it's God's will, because after you tell them, then you're out of it. When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up. If that rise up is going to happen, that name has to be in front of it. It has to be God's will.
Okay.
But didn't Jesus tell Peter them in John chapter 14, yeah, y'all seen me do some greater works, some great works, but y'all going to do these same works.
Okay.
Amen. Didn't he tell them in Mark that they would have power? Amen. To do, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he's going to get in Acts 1 and 8, he's going to what? Give you power? God. And didn't Peter tell us that God has given us everything that we need to live this Christian life?
Amen.
Satan likes to come at us like he did Job. But what was Job's power? His power was the word of God. His power was not a bunch of crazy sayings in the name of Jesus. And they're going spitting tongues at the devil. Amen. That don't scare the devil. Nothing scares him but the word of God. Amen. When you speak the word of God like Jesus did out there in that wilderness, when you speak the word of God, you lump that head up. Homies, he going to tell you, I'm going to have to get at you later. I'm going to give me some Tylenols, a whole bottle of them, because you done lumped me up real good. If our Lord and Savior Jesus demonstrated that the power of God is in the word of God, don't y'all know Jesus could have said, you know, Satan, I'm about tired of you and this nonsense out here in the wilderness. Zap, you out of here. But he didn't. He had to do it like we were going to do it. He is our example of how to use the power of God. All you have to do is speak. Jesus told us. One time, they was sleeping outside, and then they got up in the morning, and they looked at this fig tree. And because it had leaves, it was supposed to have fruit on it, but it didn't. So Jesus cursed the tree and said, may you exist no more. See how he just spoke to it? So the next morning, they sleeping outside again. They get up, amen, and they're going back because they going down to the temple because it's the great Passover, just before Jesus is to be crucified, right? And so they're going by that tree again, mother, and they look at the tree, and the disciples like, hold up. Didn't you just curse that tree yesterday? And Jesus said, yeah. And he said, what you saw me do to that tree, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, what you say out of your mouth will come to pass.
Amen.
That is the power that God, we are God's children.
Okay.
And he has vested us with the Holy Spirit, which is literally called the dunamis, or the dynamite, the power of God in us. And so God expects for us to display this power. We're supposed to advertise and display God at all times and in all ways. On our jobs, he tells us to work for them like we're working for him, knowing that we'll receive an inheritance from him. Mm-hmm. Y'all know how long it took me. After 37 times getting fired, I finally got it right. I started working for Jesus. The next job I got 7 raises in 1 year. Jesus had made me, he had given me such favor that the company down the street called me at my house. I don't even know how they got my number and made me an offer, Janice. I didn't refuse. I got my tools and went down the street. Now I started clowning Deacon Chambers when I got down the street. Because I figured, oh, they get scared of phone calls. So I would get on the phone just when I think my manager's coming out. And he'd say, who are you talking to? The guy down the street. He said, didn't I tell you you was getting a raise? I'm like, well, I ain't know. I'm calling the phone now. My wife will tell you I am not lying to you. When I tried to quit that job, I'm taking my tools out. And he pulling them right back in, telling me I can't quit. I got a job at Ecos Body and Fender. Same thing. I quit because I ain't like it no more. And he came to the house and hollered. He was like, what T.I. say? I'm outside in your front yard yelling. He was literally out there in the front yard yelling, bring him out, bring him out. I'm like, come on. Church, the world will never see the power of God if we don't show it. And it doesn't matter who you are, what your current situation in life is. I mean, who's going to believe in Paul and Silas? Y'all locked up and y'all in the dungeon. But they did believe them. Why? Because they didn't let the dungeon of life bring them down.
Okay.
Or lessen God's power. So all they did was sing praises to God when they probably should have been like, how did I end up here? I ain't serving Jesus no more. Every time I open my mouth with Jesus, like Jeremiah, I end up in a pit somewhere. I ain't saying, but the fire was shut up in their bones. And they couldn't help but to speak about what they had both seen and heard. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today and we praise your holy name. Lord, the psalmist said it like this: who is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou visitest him, that thou hast bestowed upon him this greatness that we are able to say that we're your children. Lord, you said to us in 1 John 1 and 12 that to as many as have believed on him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And now Satan and his demons are scared to death of us. They are scared to death that we know we have this power. They're scared to death to know that we know if we speak the word of God, they cannot stand against it. Lord, we thank you that you are mindful of us.
Yes.
And we thank you for the power you've given us to exist in this world where Satan rules. But Father, the work continues of you taking out of this world a people for yourself.
Yes, yes.
And thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to send us to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of this earth. Lord Jesus, we're looking for your return. And so every day we stay busy because we don't know the day of the hour of your return.
Yes.
But we do know you're coming back.
Yes.
So it ain't gonna come on us like a thief in the night, as you said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because we're people of the day and we already know you're coming back.
Yes.
So you can't sneak up on us if you told us. But the world, there are people in this world. The only reason we're still here, Jesus, is because there are people in this world that are not saved yet that you won't save. So help us, Lord, to be busy about your business,
yes,
of witnessing,
yes,
to people, teaching people in Christ, and helping people in or outside the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.